Starbucks has created a blend in his name. Coffee beans roast themselves in his presence. Baristas have a week dedicated to him. His beans grind themselves. Juan Valdez built a shrine in his honor. Decaffeinated recaffeinates when he is near. He is the most caffeinated man in the world.
Now, I don't always need my coffee and tech news together. But when I do, I prefer the caffeination. Stay caffeinated. Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 469. This is 469 of the 469th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are highly caffeinated and absolutely thrilled to bring you the latest edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are, of course, the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. It's where these two things usually live together, separate but equal lives. They live wonderful little fantasy worlds where they interact ever so slightly. However, on this, the coffee break edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, we're going to be kind of melding everything in. We're going to be throwing one thing at each other, and we're going to throw it all into one big giant pot and giving you a sole source episode here at the Caffeination Podcast. What does that mean for you? Well, January 20th, which is the day that this thing's actually going to get posted, is National Coffee Break Day. We've talked about it a couple times before, so we decided, you know what, I have so many different little coffee tech stories and coffee fun stories floating around, I'm pretty sure I could do an entire show and just deal with coffee tech, and that's what this is. And there's no better way to start it off than my wonderful friend Norbert Davis from the Totally Cool Tech podcast over at totallycooltech.com and his fantastic little rendition of the most caffeinated man in the world, which he apparently thinks is me. I think it might be close at certain points in time, and today is one of those days. We have a fantastic show lined up for you today. We have a ton of really awesome caffeinated high-octane stuff to throw at you. So we'll see exactly what happens. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Group. That's over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's kind of like a social podcasting network site. Everybody goes over there, likes all the different shows that they're into, and it's one. It's a really great way to find new and interesting content that you might be into. You never know. All right, and last but most certainly not least, we are a Puzzle Piece production. To find out what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. Basically, it's the umbrella through which all of the work that I do online ends up getting created through. So we have one thing that I was really trying to do at the beginning of the month, and it's not coming together quite right, but I am incredibly excited. So when it comes out, I think it's actually going to be something neat and interesting that everybody's going to get it in on, if it works out. But that's not what I came to talk to you about here today. Came to talk about the draft. No, I don't mean beer. We have a great amount of stuff, and before we got too much further into it, I did want to make mention of the fact that the National Coffee Break is from over at nationalcoffeebreak.org. There's a wonderful bevy of information over there. For all of it has been curated by the National Coffee Association USA, which is established in 1911. This being 2011 or 2011 or 20 in the horns, if you want to throw them up. I actually saw a funny, stupid little aside here. I actually saw an awesome little thing where it had 2-0 and then somebody throwing up the rock on symbol so that the horns, so to speak, ended up being the one and the one. I think I'm going to pick that up as a kind of like a personal deal for 2011. I'd like to really kind of attack the things that I want, make sure that I'm out there promoting the things that I enjoy. You know, I just want to spread the wonder that is the caffeination. We've been on the air for 5 years. I am astounded every time I say it. And we've been talking a lot about the different things that have motivated me throughout the years, from my wonderful and loving family to the fantastic people who stop in here from time to time, comment, feedback, suggestion. If they're sending it to caffeination@gmail.com, that's all well and good. If they're commenting on the episodes that happen to come out there, wherever you may find it, that's all well and good as well. You can even dial in to the listener line at 215-240-1319 and leave a comment. It's direct to voicemail. It's all kinds of fun stuff for over there. But more than any of that, I've been doing this thing where I listed the people who were my digital inspirations for the past 5 years. The people who've really either kicked me in the pants to do better content, or they just by their example or by their friendship have really helped me out. And there's two people in particular that I'm going to do for the Coffee Break Edition here. The first of which being Michael Allen Smith, a.k.a. Mass, from over at ineedcoffee.com. Now, I first interacted with Michael from when I posted an article over there. I was looking around for different ways to share the wonder that was the Caffeination probably about 4 years ago, I think, and I could get the exact date if I had actually thought that far ahead, but I didn't, of course. So I posted an article because that's the only way you could get advertising on ineedcoffee.com. If you want to, it's kind of like you have to write to pay, you know what I mean? So you posted an article, and the way that it used to work was it was a monthly newsletter, it would come out, and if you had content that he deemed good enough to go up there, then hey, you got a little link in the sidebar and people could follow back to your little home. And I thought that was such a great idea. I had a great article that I wanted to kind of put out there, and I think the first one that I did was Coffee for Company. Or it was either Coffee for Company or it was a listing of poems and different things like that. There's been a whole bunch of funny little things that I've posted over there throughout the years. So, just through different channels, I have no clue exactly how it happened, but we ended up commenting on each other's stuff, both on Twitter when he was actually involved, on Facebook and other people, other places, and I found a lot of really good information for how to get into home roasting on his site and so many other topics, which I was kind of, I'm not even shy to say it, I had no clue about certain things within coffee as I was really getting into this podcast. I liked it. I loved coffee. I couldn't live without coffee. But did I really understand it and actually appreciate it? No, not at that point in time when I was starting the show. So Michael really helped with that. And it was just by the content that he was pushing out there, he has a fantastic site. And I highly suggest you head on over there to ineedcoffee.com and give it a run through. And the next Mike that we have is Mike Rohde. Now, I met Mike Rohde through Michael Allen Smith because he suggested I actually talk to him because he was doing a sketch note or sketch tune at the time, Coffee Calendar. And what Michael did was he had these fantastic sketches. I actually bought the 2009 version of it, I think. He has these fantastic sketches of different coffee drinks and beverages, and there's little quips and anecdotes about them all over the place. And they're just so interesting and so self-contained and so cool that I had to have it for the Caffeination layer. And I ended up doing an interview with Michael, and it just really kind of blossomed into this thing where he inspired me to kind of get back into sketching and get back into, you know, putting my ideas, however creative, however crazy, however badly illustrated that they were, on paper. And there's been a lot of really good things that have come out of the friendship without him to even honestly knowing. And if you look at the new logo for the Caffeination podcast, the bean with the RSS waves, that actually came from an exercise that I was doing because of I saw Michael was basically sketching on absolutely everything he had. And I was like, you know what? Why am I waiting until I have a pen and paper around? Why am I not doing something on napkins or whatever else it was? And I happened to be outside playing with my son the one day. He's like, hey, can I play with the chalk? I was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And I started just doodling around. I said, you know what? Chalking is probably one of the easiest ways to work on a logo. So I just sketched a couple different things up, and I was having fun. And I took a couple pictures of him with my camera phone and came back to him later, and that's where the original concept for the bean and the RSS waves came from. So I owe both of these gentlemen a great deal because of the different guidance that they've given me, either implied or just whatever, throughout all these years. And it's really kind of interesting to see where they are now. So head on over there. Mike Rohde is actually over at rohdesign.com. That's rohdesign.com, and you can find all of his stuff. He also does the Sketch Note Army. I was actually featured on one of them. One of the poems that I wrote actually made it up there. So for a while, I was actually doing something I called sketching lunches, where I would just sit down, I would try and write something out and see if I could sketch something in tune with it. So I wrote a funny little haiku for one of my sketch lunches, and it's just went along like this. Nervous energy, jittery beans run my life. Time for another? And I illustrated it with a whole bunch of different funny things. You can actually head on over to SketchNote Army and check it out. I liked that one, but that wasn't my most famous coffee poem. Let's just put it that way. My most famous coffee poem actually came along completely by accident. I was looking through a litter of old things that I had in one of my poetry books. I wrote a lot of poetry throughout middle school, high school, and I've continued to write periodically. I just don't share it with very many people because I don't think it's very good. So I'm always very surprised whenever anybody thinks it's interesting, and I was never sure if people thought the jittery blues that I called it was actually a good poem, or if the sketching was just kind of interesting to go along with it. But I actually posted a poem over to ineedcoffee.com, and it was actually picked up, unbeknownst to me, by the fine folks over at Syracuse.com. The Syracuse Post-Standard actually found my poem posted over there, and they had one of their gentlemen. One of the reporters read my poem without telling me, which was just awesome. To hear somebody else read your poetry is beyond what you can ever possibly imagine. As a writer, to even have somebody read something, and these are all just cool things that have happened because of this podcast. So beyond that, here's the poem that was posted over at ineedcoffee.com. Buzzing, bizzing, flying, going blurry, blinking. Bommy, why so bickery? Flying through the day too fast to think, deep elixir, magic broth. Rich earth tones of musical, nonsensical symbolism, floating o'er the mind, sailing on a sea of soapy suds, warm, cool draft as a mid-fall night, charging on a stallion, marching on the battlefield, a deadly ballet of death, a macabre sense of rushing, ebbing energy, slowly stopping. That poem was picked up, and they put it in tune to a wonderful little photo collage of a coffee cup kind of blowing in the wind, and they waited a couple months, and then they actually told me, Frank Ordonez is the one from over there who did the slideshow and just put it all together, and Dave Tobin was the voice, not that voice particularly, that was me, and if you listen to how I read it, and then you listen to how Dave Tobin read it, it's completely different, which is just all kinds of awesome. All right, moving right along, because there's only so much time in the day, you know what I mean? So I have all those links all formulated and up there. So that's why those two people are absolutely awesome. Michael and Mike. So there you go. All right, now, something that came across my desk the past couple of weeks, I am absolutely ecstatic to tell you. I was given the chance to review a new grinder by Breville. Now, they have something called the Smart Grinder. It has 25 different grind settings. It uses something called Dosing IQ so that you're not just, you know, sitting there and you twist it up or you hold it down for 30 seconds and hope you have enough coffee, and you kind of got to measure your way through it that way. No, this actually has a very easy to read LCD screen. There's a knob on the side, and you turn the knob until it gets up to the desired coarseness, either from very coarse all the way up to fine. And there's little markers up at the top whether or not you're working for a French press, or it just says press, or auto drip, and depending on how coarse or fine you would like it, and hence how strong when you're looking at an auto drip. And then when it gets over to the espresso side, and eventually over, you can get Greek coffee out of it. I've tried it, and it actually works, so no worries on that one. But Greek, Turkish, whatever, the really fine powdery coffee, it's just fantastic. If you've never had it, you honestly have to try it. But I really need to kind of focus on this. The Breville actually has all of these different settings, and once you get to the proper coarseness setting, then you hit the button for how many shots versus how many cups you would like. It seems complicated, but it is incredibly easy. When it's on the auto drip or the press, it says how many cups would you like. When it moves over to espresso, it says how many shots. And all you have to do is hit the button, and it says from 1 to 2 shots, or from, I think, 1 to 12 cups, which is pretty impressive, if you ask me. Now, beyond that, there's also a strength indicator. So if you found out that, you know, you made 6 cups of coffee, but it really wasn't getting the job done, you know what I mean? So there's also an adjustment feature, where you can actually adjust the amount of coffee that's produced by 5% all the way up to 20% extra for however much you have. just by twisting it. And not only can you make it stronger, but you can make it weaker if it's a little bit too much hardcore for you. And then it also came with a whole bunch of other different attachments that were just fantastic. It has a pound hopper up in the top. Now, I was sent this to review, and I'm pretty sure you can tell from the tone of my conversation up to this point, I love this thing. I don't know what the difference would be from other coffee grinders that I've had, but if you really want to kind of break it down, if you just like drinking coffee, then you know you might get pre-ground, you might do other things. But if you start to love coffee, then you realize, okay, the first thing you have to do is like, I love coffee, so I'm going to start buying the whole beans. And then you get a grinder, and it's usually a blade grinder because they're rather inexpensive and it does certain things okay. And then you say, you know what, the blade grinder isn't quite cutting it. I can't make anything for my espresso machine, or it doesn't make the right it makes the coffee too muddy when I'm trying to make a French press. So up to the burr grinder we go, and then you move up a little bit every time until you're finally up to, I wouldn't say a professional level, but pretty close on this one. This machine retails for $200. Now, before you kind of jump at that figure, take a look at what it's trying to do. This coffee grinder is meant for people who are not only serious about coffee, but have already taken the jump, already taken the plunge. They've pierced the veil, I think, in the article I actually wrote, between liking coffee and really truly appreciating it. Now, one of the things that I've been talking to a lot of people in work and a lot of people elsewhere, and they said, okay, now can you taste the difference on a $200 grinder versus another grinder? Well, if you're coming from pre-ground coffee, then yes, that doesn't even get to enter into the room when the grown-ups are talking. If you're talking from a blade grinder, it is honestly night and day. If you are trying to make espresso, you cannot make a good, consistent cup of espresso. That is this thing's hallmark. It makes a consistent cup of coffee or a shot of espresso every single time, which is really a load off your shoulders. If you're trying to create something and you're trying to make sure that it's good, this really gets that job done. And then when you move beyond that, you're like, okay, well, let's just say I'm using it and I'm trying to make a French press or something like that. The pieces are large, so you don't get muddy coffee, unless you want muddy coffee, in which case you make it a little bit finer. It allows for such fine-tuned control over the entirety of your coffee experience that it's pretty impressive. And the funny thing is, I have another burr grinder in the house. I have the Capresso Infinity. Now, I don't have the stainless steel version of that. I have the black plastic version, and trust me, the stainless steel version doesn't taste any different than the black plastic one, unless you're trying to eat the actual unit. However, when I make a cup of espresso, or when I make a demi-tasse of espresso, rather, and I make it out of the Capresso, and then I make it out of the Breville, I gotta tell you, the Smart Grinder wins hands down every single time. For consistency on the shot, for the amount of crema that actually exists at the top of the espresso. So if you love coffee, and if you have an expensive espresso machine, then you owe it to yourself to get a good grinder. I forget where I read this, but they said after you get to a certain level of espresso machine, and after you get to a certain level of coffee addiction, or coffee culture addiction, I guess you would say, you have to start buying the grinder that is commensurate with the espresso machine that you're using. So if you have like a tiny little espresso machine that also has a coffee pot on the same unit, you're probably not going to see the difference, because that machine is not capable of producing espresso as well as it should be able to. This is an unbelievable grinder. Now, would I have bought it right out of the box? I'm not sure, because I don't have that espresso machine. The espresso machine that I have is very good for what it is, but it's not, believe me, it's not anywhere near any of the espresso machines that some of the other people I happen to know have. They have like $600, $700 espresso machines, and it's actually easy to get up that high if you really want to think about it. But if I was of the ilk that had that kind of machine and I had the option, I would buy this every single time. And I got to tell you, if you really just want to kind of take a look at it and kind of ooh and ah, there's a great little video that the fine folks over at Breville actually put together that is wonderful, and it shows you all the different things that I've talked about on this episode. And thank you ever so much to Breville for sending that unit along to the Caffeination Layer, because it has been making some absolutely hands down fantastic coffee for the past couple weeks, and it's been really, really good. All right, moving right along to the next little thing that we got for you here. Now, what are you going to do on coffee break day? Well, you're going to have to find something to read. Well, you could do actually a couple different things. The first thing is, you could actually have a coffee break. You could set everything up, you put down the laptop, you step away from the desk, and you just walk away. You have your coffee break, you talk to your coworkers, which is the spirit in which this holiday was actually kind of put forth. The next thing that you could do is you could also read some coffee news, and the fine folks over at nationalcoffeebreak.org have a bunch of things all lined up for you, so you can stay long enough for a cup of coffee. There's a whole bunch of other different things that they have up there that are just kind of funny little anecdotes and stories and news items that are about there. You could also head on over to coffee.alltop.com. Now, this is actually one of the places that I use to research stories. Now, they use a interesting kind of collection of people from about.coffee.com. I like the about articles. I hate the ads and the organization of the page. I don't know if anybody else is with me on that. They do have I Need Coffee. They have Customer, Coffee Sage, Muddy Dog Coffee, My Coffee Experience, The Coffee Adventures, Daily Shot of Coffee, which of course is Mike Crimmin's fantastic blog over there. And they have just all these great places you can all get their latest five stories that are all up there. So if you've never tried Alltop, I highly suggest to give that a shot. The next funny thing that we have to talk to you about is what happens when Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters, Them Crooked Vultures, and Nirvana actually needs more coffee. Well, funny happens when he needs coffee, or as he likes to call it, the fresh pot. Now, I've talked about this before. I've featured it on the show before, but I just had to do this because I think it was pretty funny, and I just, this is what he says throughout the entire thing, so you can kind of hear it a little bit. Now, that's a kind of a loop of it. There's a whole bunch of different things where you can see his kind of manic caffeination energy, if you really want to call it that. And he's just going like whole hog on coffee throughout the entire thing. And apparently, after this video was actually produced, he was actually hospitalized due to complications of having too much caffeine over a long period of time. So like I say all the time on the podcast around here, moderation, people, everything in moderation. All right, next little funny story we got for you to talk about today is Legos. Oh, let me just make sure I got everything lined up. All right, Legos. Now, I was originally looking around and I saw this was pretty cool. Somebody actually recreated Starbucks. They called it the coffee shop entirely out of Legos. I was like, hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. And the product details are all there, but beyond that, everything else is made entirely out of Legos. And it looked pretty good. But that's only the start of this. Now, if a caffeination episode exists, you know that it needs to have Legos in it. That's just one of the things that always ends up coming up here on the show. So coffee and Legos, yeah, it's fine if you build your own Starbucks out of Legos. But what else could you do? Well, you could build your own coffee machine. And apparently, this is the 10th iteration of this. It uses, as most of the really awesome Lego projects do, it uses the Lego Mindstorm NXT controllers. Instead of a whole bunch of other parts, you can actually see a lot of these are actually videos, so I'm just kind of putting them up there so you can kind of go over there and watch on your own. But this is pretty crazy. This is an entire coffee machine, at least housed out of Legos. I'm not sure if all the parts on the inside of it are actually made of Legos, but it reminds me of a lot of different things that I've seen, so I just had to share it with the group because I saw it was that fantastic. Now, if you have a Lego coffee machine, then you need to go to the next step and also build yourself a Lego coffee assistant, which is the next video that's up there. The coffee assistant is a new way to put sugar, and I think there might even be a way of adding creamer in there as well, and it also stirs the thing. But the best part about it is this person kind of took it up a notch, and beyond just having this giant box that actually dispensed the sugar cubes into your beverage and then stirred it, it also had a little bit of an artistic flair to it, because as you rotate this massive box around, it also has these little vignettes, these tiny little cutaways in the actual Lego segments itself, so that you can see the different little bits of coffee culture that are eking out. There's a proper little cup of coffee in there. There's a whole bunch of other fun stuff in there as well, so I wanted to just kind of share that with the group. And then the last, but most certainly not least, awesome Lego coffee project I see for the truly lazy and the truly awesome some of you out there. There's a Lego coffee stirring machine. That's all it does. It doesn't brew it. It doesn't add sugar to it. It doesn't do anything. All it does is stir. And the funny thing is, it stirs as soon as you put the cup under. So you can't really beat that. That is, hands down, the simplest and laziest thing you could ever do with Legos. All right, moving right along. Coffee does music in a big way. Now, coffee and music always seem to go together, from indie artists using coffee houses to start out and get their feet under them. And you have folk music, which is associated with coffee. But the fine folks who end up over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com, specifically Mike Grimmins, have put together a list of 14 fantastic songs about coffee. Now, giving you a little bit of a rundown of what they are, you can head on over there and watch all the videos. Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys, Black Coffee in Bed by Squeeze, then we have Coffee by Aesop Rock, Black Coffee by Black Flag, you gotta love that, Everlast Black Coffee, The Coffee Song by Cream, Coffee Mug by the Descendants, Descendants. I'm sorry, I can't read today. Coffee and Cigarettes by Jimmy Eat World. The original Coffee and Cigarettes and Coffee Flipped Around by Otis Redding. One More Cup of Coffee by the White Stripes. Bob Marley, One Cup of Coffee. That's Sarah Vaughan, not Stevie Ray Vaughan. That Black Coffee. Cup of Coffee by Johnny Cash. And The Coffee Song by Frank Sinatra. The only problem with all of these, I really respect Mike, but he missed three fantastic coffee songs. First of all, the one song that I need to find and put up here, the absolute pinnacle of coffee tomfoolery, is Coffee Man by Calvin Owens. Now, he was originally on the Podsafe Music Network. I love his style. I love everything about him. So I linked him up to over at Yahoo Music, because not only can you go over there and listen to the whole full song, but it's just a way you can actually buy it as well. So this is kind of an example of...
Two things in life I know. Music and coffee beans. Coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I bring excitement to the music scene like a heaping cup of pure caffeine. 'Cause I'm a coffee man.
I love that song. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff over there that you can actually see and enjoy, and it's just, you can really kind of hear the man's soul in those songs. And I used to use his there's two things in life I know, music and coffee beans, as a promo to my show when I was doing the music on the show. Now, since I don't do it anymore, I really can't really deal with that. However, there's another fantastic song by Soul Coffin. They redid the Frank Sinatra song, The Coffee Song. There's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. It's just a fantastic rendition. It's offbeat, like a lot of the different Soul Coffin stuff is. And beyond that, there's also one of my favorite bands out there is Trout Fishing in America, and they have a song called A Proper Cup of Coffee. And all I want is a proper cup of coffee made in a proper copper coffee pot. I may be off my dot, but I want a proper coffee in a proper copper pot. Iron coffee pots and tin coffee pots are no use to me. I want a proper coffee in a proper copper pot, or if not, I'll have a cup of tea, is the kind of thing there. And they have this fun little back and forth, this little play that goes along, and it's such a fantastic song. However, I can't really find a good version of it to link up in the show notes. So if you have a chance, head on over to iTunes, and you need to buy that song, because if you enjoy coffee, it's a good song to have. All right, moving right along over to the fantabulous Jim Seven, or James Hoffman, as the case may be, and his little experimentation. He is a barista who is absolutely, hands down, much smarter than I will ever be about coffee. Now, he has effective experimentation. Now, I've been doing a little bit of experimentation with coffee of my own recently. We have the coffee chili cheese dip that I'm working on for the Super Bowl, if we ended up having anything for it. But either way, I've actually made it recently. People love it. I'm working on the recipe, kind of trying to fine tune it so I can actually put it up on the caffeination.com. I actually want to do an episode of Caffeination Cooks about that. We actually did a coffee steak version of that a while ago. And then I actually did coffee chili not too recently. That one didn't turn out quite so well. I need to kind of work on that I need to kind of work on that whole recipe pretty much, because I seem to forget a lot of the tomato products and the whole chili came out brown, and I'm sorry, it just doesn't look right. I love chili, and this tastes pretty good, but it just doesn't look right overall. Now, this is James actually talking about experimentation in coffee and how to create the perfect cup of espresso and how you adjust the settings on your different machines to actually take into account things like the grinder heating up from grinding beans all day long, to other different little things that happen, from, you know, preheating the coffee cups. And it's really kind of eye-opening to see. It's, if you've ever actually talked to somebody who has such a deep insight into a topic that you've never, that you couldn't even possibly imagine, you really need to read jim7.com, because this man thinks about coffee in a way that, like, mathematicians think about math, like rocket scientists think about space. It's just insane the level of detail that he can get into and just stay along even keel, and you can actually understand what he's saying. And I don't want to take anything away from the man's blog, and I don't want to take anything away from the way in which he explains it, so I just want to kind of pass it along there, and hopefully you'll head on over there and check it out. Next little thing we have up for you here, the first article I ever wrote for ineedcoffee.com, Coffee for Company. This thing has been stolen, lifted, moved about like you wouldn't even understand. I've been notified on 4 or 5 different occasions of different coffee companies, different people, different places and things all lifting this article as a whole. I don't even think it's honestly that good of an article, but every time I can link to it, it's kind of funny. But it's 5 quick tips to make your serving a little bit easier for Coffee for Company. So basically, the first thing is buy a glass-lined carafe. Buy whole beans is number 2. Pull the pot. So if you have an auto-drip pot, as soon as it's done, pull it off that warming pad. It's going to burn. And the other thing is sugar and spice. Don't buy flavored coffee. You can add flavor to things after the fact. However, if you have very bitter coffee, there's a funny little tweak that you can actually do, and I have our guide to sugar and spices to help you out. And number 5 is, again, avoid flavored coffees, because it's hard to kind of get one flavored coffee that everybody likes, because flavored coffees are overall bunk, if you ask me. I'm not a real big fan of them, and most people who enjoy coffee to the level that I try to. I would never say that I enjoy coffee better than everybody else or anything like that. I would say I aspire to a much higher and more perfect cup of coffee than a lot of people do. But, you know, at the same point in time, if I need coffee in the morning, I'm going to get coffee. It doesn't have to be the absolute perfect cup of coffee. It doesn't need to be hand-delivered by Juan Valdez. However, that would be nice. All right. Now, the next little thing that we got for you here, and yes, I am highly caffeinated. Can you tell? Starbucks has a new size. Please stop asking me about it. It's called the Trenta. It's 31 ounces of giant. It's only going to be used for cold beverages, none of which are iced coffee, which is fine because I hate the way Starbucks does iced coffee anyway. It's going to be for their iced teas. It's probably going to have more sugar than you can shake a stick at. It's not a Frappuccino size or anything like that. They've been play testing this in different markets as far back as, I think, 1.5 years ago probably, and I've heard so many different stories about this that it's pretty scary, and people were asking me all today, oh, did you hear about the Trenta? Yes, I've heard about it. I don't want to be rude to people who are saying these kind of things, but that's not the most exciting thing to happen in coffee today, people. Come on. All right, next little thing from over at Muddy Dog Roasting. The actual web address is muddydogcoffee.wordpress.com, but this is the Muddy Dog Roasting Company. I like talking to or directing people to this blog every once in a while because they really have short, quick, simple tips on how to do things. Easy, inexpensive cleaning tips for better coffee. The name says it all. So this is how you go about doing it. They run through the grinder, the espresso machines, drip brewers, or manual equipment. How you clean each one to the maximum efficiency. So I don't want to redo it there, so I just wanted to kind of share that with the group. Next little thing is a fantastic post from over at CoffeeNate.com. The 5 worst coffee gift ideas ever. Now, I've thought about doing a post like this, except the thing is, if I receive a bad coffee gift, I'm very unlikely to talk about it on the show because I don't want to hurt people's feelings necessarily. I have, however, warned people off of one coffee gift that I got a couple years ago. One of my friends actually bought me a coffee warming pad, and they talk about it on this, and it's this tiny little metal pad that plugs into the USB port on your computer. It also happens to be a USB hub. It heats up the mug and keeps your coffee nice and warm. Usually my coffee doesn't last that long, so it wasn't a practical thing for me to use very often. But I tried it one day. I wanted to see if it could heat coffee back up that had been cooled down. So beyond all of the different problems with reheating coffee and everything else like that, it never actually warmed the mug up. The only thing that it ended up doing is after I took the mug off, it forgot about it. I ended up putting my hand on it a couple hours later, and it was blazing hot. It was not hot enough to actually heat the mug up. The transference thing really didn't work, but it transferred quite nicely into the palm of my hand. So that thing hasn't been plugged back in quite a long time. So that's the only thing I'd really kind of warn people off just in general. All right, next little thing we got for you here. Coffee Throwdown. Apparently, Philadelphia. I have been unaware. This has been happening for a year now. I don't get out much. I have a young family. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But apparently, Philadelphia has something called Philadelphia TNT, a monthly latte art throwdown that happens in the city of brotherly love. They happen from all these different cafes all over the city. And it's a real honest-to-goodness latte art competition. They try and do whatever it is they do. They try and make the best possible latte designs and latte art in the shortest amount of time possible. They move it all around the city. So I got to tell you, if there's any point in time, they're having one tomorrow, actually, on the 20th, or rather today, as we've been recording. But they're having one every month on the first Thursday. Is it every month on the Thursday? I don't know. It's Thursdays. That's how it is. But if you're in Philadelphia and you'd be interested in heading to one of these, it's philadelphiatnt.wordpress.com. There's a whole bunch of different people from the different smaller cafes that are around the city. Spruce Street Espresso, Bodie Elixir, Milk Boy, L&M, and Ultimo. So this is just all the people that have competed anywhere near recently. I really need to get much more involved in the coffee scene here in Philadelphia. So, you know, maybe I'll wander out every once in a while and try and check some of these places out. But, you know, I love coffee. It's just I don't have the time or the funding available to just wander off randomly. It's just not cricket. You know what I mean? All right. We have three more little things, then we're going to head you out on your way. I told you, there's a lot of coffee stuff, and I've been babbling nonsensically. All right. Coffee and Information Throwdown. There's a fantastic post from over at informationisbeautiful.net where they have the buzz versus the bulge. Now, we've talked about this before. It's a little bit inaccurate, but it's really kind of cool to see the different levels of coffee and how they exist calorically versus how they exist volumetrically. So it's like how big they are versus how many calories they have in them and versus what it would take to actually burn the approximate number of calories in this. Now, people were in some of the comments below actually have a lot of a really good commentary about it. For instance, I think they said the Americano and the espresso were two different levels of caffeine, where all you really need to do to create an Americano is actually add water to an espresso up to a certain volume. Then there you go. They should have technically the same caffeine index, and they should also have the same caloric index as long as you don't add milk and sugar and all other kinds of nonsense to them. So it's pretty cool and pretty interesting, so I just wanted to share that with the group and head you on over there. Now, the other thing I had here for you is brilliant coffee ad keeping warm. Apparently, the fine folks in Minneapolis are a little bit cold. So Caribou Coffee has dressed up a bus station like a giant heater. It looks like an oven that's warming breakfast sandwiches. And the best part about it, the top of the actual bus enclosure has a heating element that warms people that are inside the enclosure. Apparently, their biggest problem was trying to not singe people's hair. I think this is fantastic. I love it. I think that I love advertising that's really kind of off the beaten path and fantastic. So that's from over at adfreak.com. And the next one that we have up here is the last little story that we got for you on today's Caffeination. McDonald's puts nappers next to coffee ads. They had people, actors, actually go out on subways and they slept in front of a coffee ad and says, "Looks like someone could use a free coffee." This is brilliant. I can't even imagine who thought this up and why they don't have a much larger job right now. It is really, really, really awesome. So I just want to share that with the group there. So I wanted to share that out there because I thought that was fantastic. That's about it for today's show. Final reminder, I have a story linked up at the top. I did not talk about it again. You have five, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days left until the end of the 5-year anniversary giveaway. We are going to be giving away a Tassimo T20 BrewBot. So if you comment on the 5-year post or you send me an email at thanks@caffeination.com, and then just say you'd want to be entered. And we're going to be throwing all the names in a hat and pulling them out, and there you go, and here we are. So I just wanted to share that. Make sure everybody gets on over there and checks that out. That about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination. Thank you ever so much for enjoying your coffee break with me. However, I doubt you have a 40-minute long coffee break. If you do, congratulations, or maybe you'll just take a nice long coffee lunch. So happy National Coffee Break Day, everybody, and we're going to move on to bigger and better things next show. This has been episode number 469. If you're looking for this or any of its little episodic friends, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. All the feedbacks, comments, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else you want to send in to my general direction, please feel free to do so at caffeination@gmail.com. We are Twitter.com/caffeination, Facebook fan page, just search for Caffeination spelled incorrectly, and there you'll have it, and there we are. So thank you ever so much for listening. Stay caffeinated, people.